For those who are aware, we want to thank you because your prayers help us. On Easter Sunday, my wife gave birth to a boy, baby boy. And we don't have his picture up here yet because we have just decided on his name yesterday night. All right, so it was pretty last minute. I'll update the church as and when I'm preaching the next session. All right, so we want to thank you for your love gift, for your prayer, for helping us to go through this time. Again, it is not easy to go through this time because she's like taking care of 4 kids. All right, I have 3 kids, but she's taking care of 4 kids, including me. All right, so we want to thank God for mothers, especially for husbands. Do appreciate your wife. And this sermon, this morning is going to be a really short one, understanding that this is a special day. We want to encourage all mothers and also to help mothers find encouragement, especially if you are down with your stress, with your worry, with your fear. We pray that the Word of God will help us to encourage you this morning. Shall we come to the Lord in prayer before we go through today? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you once again for giving us mothers. We want to celebrate Mother's Day today, and we pray that, Lord, your message to the mothers today will be one that's encouraging them and to help them to see how much they will be contributing to the next generation. And we pray that, Lord, you will help them to recognize that this is a holy calling from you, and that, Lord, we are to help and support our mothers in doing the roles that you have given to them. So, Lord, we want to pray that you help us as husband and children also be aware of all this so that we can best support our mothers, our wife, and perhaps in the future, our daughters as well. We want to thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Moms are totally amazing, right? Moms are totally amazing. And I think this is one way off. We want to thank mothers, and especially when we celebrate Mother's Day, we will be reminded of all the things that our mothers have been doing for us. So it's always the doing part. We also want to recognize their presence among us. And the next photo will be one that hopefully you'll be able to differentiate. All right, let me ask this question. Which one was prepared by a mother? Why can't it be B? No? How many husbands cut the apples as in B? Oh, so it's only me. I'm so sorry. What is wrong with B? You cannot say that it's messy. It is irregular. All I can say that it is irregular in size because I hope that my child, 4 years old, 2 years old, can learn how to pick up apples. All right? But definitely A is from a mother. All right? Definitely A is from a mother and B is from Pastor Caleb. From these very small things, little things in our daily life, we will be able to see the influence of a mother in a household. So mothers, whether you like it or not, whether your presence is there or not, we know. Because from the first glance, the children already identified it. Your presence is necessary. And the big idea today is a mother's faith is a living legacy that transforms her children's destiny. Your faith is going to be something that is living, that is something that is going to be generational. And everything that you bring forth in the family about your faith, they will transform your children's destiny. So let us turn to the portion of scripture today. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. If you have a Bible with you, if not, you know, this is the verse that we are going to look into. We are going to see two mothers here, all right? In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, this is Timothy. And Paul is writing to Timothy here. The I is Paul. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Louis, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Not only intimacy, but it first started in the grandmother Louis, followed by the mother, which learns about it from Louis, and Eunice is the one that has been teaching Timothy of their faith. Now from this we can see that a faith that is authentic, a faith that is true and sincere. It is not just a religion, but it is something that is of relational. It is something that is not only by the books, but it is the day in and the day out of life. So Louis and Eunice, they didn't just teach Timothy about God, they live it out. They live it out. So let me read to you Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 7. This is what God has commanded to the people of Israel at that time to do and to teach the next generation of children. So verse 6, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorframe of your houses and on your gates. In other words, Eunice, Louis has been doing all they have in their life to point the young generation, Timothy in this case, about God. Everything that God has commanded, it is to be on their hearts. It is to be impressed upon their children. And like a candle that lights another, genuine faith is caught and not just being taught out. It is being caught as they observe, as your children observe you in your times of trouble, in your times of joy, how they are going to catch your faith. So a faith that is authentic perseveres. A faith that is authentic perseveres. Now for most of us, we may not know, Timothy is born in a so-called non-Christian family. The father is a Greek, all right? The father is a Greek, and Jewish mothers, they were facing persecution for raising Christian children those days. Now, I believe this is true for some of us today, that we are not from a Christian family, that we have accepted the faith along the way, and even then, this faith that is authentic, it will persevere. This faith that is authentic, it will persevere. Because ultimately, when our children look at our mothers, their quiet faithfulness speaks louder than what I preach here. As they look at their mothers, they will be able to see the living example of what God has called them to be and to do. So they will look at the mothers first and foremost. They will imitate the mothers first and foremost. And it is even more effective than what the pastors is preaching in the sermon. So mothers, once again, you have a faith that is authentic and that is persevering. Now the second part is we see from this verse is a faith that is generational. The power of a spiritual heritage. Now I'm not sure about you, but in my family, the mothers are usually the one that is more concerned about faith-related issue. I'm not sure about you. So my father was the first Christian in the family. Then ultimately after that, my mother came to Christ. Then I came to Christ, followed by my siblings. But since then, even though my father is older in faith, he has accepted Christ in his 20s when he was in the university. But ultimately, anything that is related to faith, you will notice that the mother seems to have more heart in that. They seem to hold on to it slightly tighter. This is the power of spiritual heritage, and we want to thank God for all mothers, all sisters who are here. Because ultimately, we see that when we call for prayer meeting, the sisters come first. When we call for visitation, the sisters rise up first. So brothers, it is a wake-up call for us that this is not only the role of a mother, but fathers, we are to share the role in shaping our next generation. So we see that Timothy's faith is first lived in Louis, carry on to the next generation to Eunice, and then after that to the next generation to Timothy. And we see that faith is transferable in that sense. And Proverbs 22 verse 6 reminds us, encourages us that to start off our children on the way they should go. And even when they are old, they will not turn from it. So we are to train up our child onto the way that they should go. 2 years old, 3 years old, it is the best time possible for us to teach our child. And prayerfully and hopefully we are still teaching them today. And we also notice that the role of mothers as disciple makers is very obvious here, where Lois discipled Eunice and Eunice discipled Timothy. All right, so like Timothy, many Christian believers credit their mother's prayers. How many of us know how much our mothers have been praying for us? Yes. How many of us know how much time have they bowed down on their knees praying for you and for me in their tears? I know for sure my mom had did that. I was a really bad boy when I was younger. So we know that our mothers have been praying for us, have been interceding for us, so that ultimately this is who we are today. So the reason why we are here to celebrate mothers is also we are to see that Timothy's faith was one that is personal. Even though this may not be a very good setting to be personal to our mothers, but I pray that outside of the church, as you leave after the church service, you will spend intentional time with your mothers to celebrate Mother's Day, not only today, but to remember her, to spend time with her on a daily basis. And we see that everything that we have learned and inherited from our mothers, it is personal. Paul says that now lives in you also. So Timothy's faith was something that is personal, that they, you know, that Timothy has learned from the mom, and Timothy has also owned his faith. And this is the greatest joy for mothers. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And as a result of that, we will see ripple effects. Ripple effects. Mothers changes the atmosphere in the house. And children, as they model after their mothers, as they come to the community, as they come to the society, they will be the one that is changing the atmosphere wherever they are. So when we look at the children today, as they come to school, whatever atmosphere that is in the classroom is most probably brought forth from what is at home. And as they grow up, if they go to work, whatever atmosphere that they create at their workplace will be brought, will be caught on from their house, from whatever they have gone through, and that will be the atmosphere that they are going through. So moms, your faithfulness can ignite revival in your grandchildren, in your children, in the next generation. You have impacted thousands without knowing it. Mothers, you have impacted thousands without knowing it. This is a poem by Dorothy. And children learn what they live by all this. So if a children lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a children lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If he learns lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If he lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If he lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If he lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. And if a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If he lives with security, he learns to have faith. If he learns lives with approval, he learns to be himself. And if he lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to find love in the world. So the atmosphere in the house, in the home, is really important. And mothers are usually the one that sets the tone and the atmosphere in the house. For the many Christian mothers today, how to remain totally amazing? May I ask that you continue to live authentically, in your times of troubles, in the times of trials, in the time of suffering, in the time of illness, continue to have faith, because your children, your next generation will capture that from you. Pray relentlessly like Hannah for Samuel. Pray relentlessly like Hannah for Samuel. So in her times, she has been praying in her knees, praying for God to answer her prayer, and God has indeed answered her prayer. And lastly, it is to teach intentionally, to teach them to your children, God's law, God's commandment, to talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. So many of us, we may not have the mothers that we think we deserve. Why my mother is like that? Why my mother has not been the one that I have been praying for? Now, mothers, we understand that there are challenges, and especially if you have been feeling guilty about anything and everything. So how can I feel okay again? So these are some of the questions that we may have asked. You know, what is the most difficult part of being a mother? Some of them, they may be feeling guilty for everything. If my child misbehaved in school, I was a problem. If my child lie, it is my problem. If my child don't have enough food or doesn't eat vegetables, it's my problem. So some mothers, we may be feeling guilty about anything and everything. And for mothers like that, let us turn to 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 to 20. Dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. So parents, you know, if a husband, children, show our love by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. And even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and He knows everything. God knows your heart, mothers. God knows what you are going through today. And especially for Christian mothers, we can always turn back to God, because God knows our feeling. He is greater than our feelings. And for those who have yet to know God, may I invite you, may I encourage you that you can rest assured that the God who made you a mother knows and understand what you are going through. Perhaps for some of our mothers today, it is time for us not to feel guilty anymore. And for some mothers, they may be feeling worried about everything. How can I feel secure again? Now, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For the Spirit of God gave us, does not make us timid, but gave us power, love, and self-discipline." And Psalm 37, verse 5, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do His things." Worried, yes, mothers feel worried. You know, from going to a vacation, they are worried about anything and everything. God gave us a spirit that does not make us timid. And especially for Christian mothers, may I ask that you continue to hold on to God, because the Spirit of God gave us power, gave us the ability to love, and gave us the self-discipline to make what is necessarily right in the family. And for those who are doubting, may I ask that you continue to commit your way to the Lord. Whichever decision that you make, whatever ways that you are going to go and all this, trust in Him, and He will make the best arrangement for you and for me. And lastly, mothers who are feeling stressed about everything, how can I find relief? Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 to 18, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." For some of us, we may be questioning, you are feeling stressed about all things. I was feeling stressed about all things as well. My boy has jaundice, you know, it's going up and down, and Celine feeling stressed about it as well. So should we go to the hospital? Should we send him for the blood test? You know, we are feeling stressed about everything and anything. Once again, mothers, God has called us to be mothers, to be parents, so that we can model after Christ in our time of challenges. When we are feeling stressed about things of uncertainty, let us focus upon God. Let us focus upon God. Let us focus upon God. Because once we put our gaze upon God, everything else will fall into place. All you need is a little bit of faith. Now, this sounds cliche. You know what's a cliche? This sounds like, you know, Christians always say this one. Try it. You will be surprised at the outcome. I can guarantee you. If you do not know God, try Him out. Talk to God. Because when it comes to guilt, know that God can still use you as a parent. When it comes to fear and worry, know that God is in control. And when it comes to stress, rest in the fact that you are doing the will of God. So mothers, hang in there. Fathers, don't be a child. Support your wife. Children, support your mothers. And grandchildren, love your grandparents.